the touchdown after the block by Eagley.
And just as I called it yesterday, Colts win 34-17. I just figured Rivers would be bad, but last night he played pretty well. Rivers sometimes will play great, sometimes will play horrible. Usually it's in the same game. But last night, overall, played well. And the Colts are a really good team if he plays well. I just don't think he can do it for an extended period of time to have them be a Super Bowl contender, but could be proven wrong. Last night, they proved me wrong. Colts beat the Titans 34-17, Thursday night football. They're now in the lead in the AFC South, which now suddenly means that Tennessee would be that team that you could be facing early in the playoffs. Phillip Rivers, 29-39 for 308 yards and a touchdown. And you heard the punt block for the score there. That was big as the Colts ran up 430 yards of offense and 21 unanswered points. Second half put the game away, and they certainly won the special teams battle, no question about it, as the Colts get it done. So both teams are 6-3, but the Colts hold the tiebreaker in the AFC South, but there's still 7 games to play, and I believe they play again later on this year. So the Titans will have another opportunity to get the Colts back after what happened last night. All right, local sports. We got high school football tonight.
Yeah, tonight on Katy Country 94 and NCSSports.com online video stream, it's the Beloit Trojans on the road at Haven in the quarterfinal round of the two-way playoffs. Fans can hear that game with pregame coverage beginning at 6:30 and kickoff at 7 o'clock between Beloit and Haven. So that's what's going on our station here and then online video stream, as we mentioned. Also tonight, Smith Center playing in the 1A quarterfinals against Oakley. And that'll be a 7 o'clock kickoff at Hubbard Stadium in Smith Center. Smith Center, a rematch there with Oakley as they beat them earlier this year, 42-14 in week 5. And then one of the other area teams of note that's still playing tonight is Southeast of Saline in Class 3. They're still alive in the quarterfinals there. They're at Wichita Collegiate tonight at 7 o'clock. Southeast 9-0, Collegiate 9-1 going into that matchup here tonight. So those are the games of interest and note in the area here tonight. Full brackets for high school playoffs are at NCKSSports.com.
Todd and I'll be in Haven tonight. First time we'll be there for a football game. Haven, the first playoff win since 1976, and they beat Kingman in the first round, beat Hutch Trinity last week, 26-6. Hutch Trinity without 5 starters, including their starting quarterback and their backup quarterback. They were on their third-string quarterback last week. So Beloit caught a break with Phillipsburg canceling, didn't have to play or win a game last week. Haven caught a break with Hutch Trinity not being nearly at full strength, so maybe a little bit hard to handicap this one tonight. But Brad Gober, his team 4-6, but much better than a 4-6 record indicate. 3 of their 6 losses to ranked teams have a combined record of 27-1. They've lost the number 1 team in state in 1A Centralia. They've lost the number 2 team in the state in 2A Hoisington. And they've lost the number 4 team in the state in 3A Southeast of Saline. Those 3 teams are combined 27-1. So Beloit's played good competition. Haven has been really difficult to stop offensively at times this year. They are big on the line. And for perhaps the first time this year, Brad Gober's team may be the smaller one up front.
They're big. I mean, we've been, for the most part, been, you know, the biggest team on the field. And, you know, it's not going to be the case this week. You know, they got a couple big boys on the O-line and D-line, a big linebacker. And so that's going to be different for our kids a little bit, you know, seeing a team across the way that's bigger than us. But we're excited about the matchup. You know, we feel like we do match up well with them. And I think that, you know, we just got to come out here and play physical. And if we come out here and play physical and don't turn the ball over and, you know, extend our drive, especially with their no-huddle stuff, you know, if we can extend some drives and keep them up the field a little bit and make big stops, I think we'll be in good shape.
Drew Tallman and Thomas Cooperrider are the co-head coaches at Haven. You heard me right. They are the co-head coaches. Their coach left them in May a couple years ago, and after a couple people interviewed for the job, they looked at each other and said, why don't we just do this together? And they both, Tallman's actually graduated from Cheney, but he's from Haven originally and been there for most of his life. And to Thomas Cooperrider, he is a Haven native, and both their dads are alums of Haven. So they knew they'd be around for a while and said, let's go ahead and let's work together. One's the offensive coordinator, the other's the defensive coordinator. And so it's a rare thing. You'll hear the pregame interview tonight. First time I've ever interviewed two coaches at the same time for a pregame interview. But that's exactly what happened because they are co-head coaches. I don't know if they do rock, paper, scissors to figure out fourth and inches if they're going to go for it or not. I do not know who makes that final decision. At some point, you have to get to that point because who's the tiebreaker if they disagree on it? Do they have a third head coach? I'm just joking. But it's worked for Haven. their first playoff win since 1976 this year. The last win was in 76. That was the year I was born. That tells you how long ago it really was. And they're in the playoffs for the deepest run they've ever had is the quarterfinals, which is where they are in 1976. They have never been past the quarterfinals. So this is newfound territory. Their average record over the last 12 years is 2-7. Their first winning season since 2001. But they have a very talented senior class led by Darby Roper and Nathan Schmidt. Those guys are quick. They are very good. And if they get in the open field, look out. But also, they're big. They average 260 along the offensive and defensive lines, does Haven. But despite the size advantage that it looks like Haven has, Thomas Cooperrider, one of the co-head coaches, still worried about Beloit's physicality.
They're very physical. Good size, I think. We've been bigger than a lot of teams that we've played this year, and that's not the case tonight. Watching film, they come off the ball. Very physical game. It should stack up to be a good game. On paper, it looks like it's going to be a fun one tonight.
Haven and Beloit tonight. Haven 8-2, and Beloit is 4-6, as I mentioned, but really the records don't mean anything going into tonight's game. Now, Beloit will be a little bit shorthanded tonight. They have one starter on the offensive side of the ball that will not play tonight, and they do have a defensive starter that is out due to an injury suffered earlier this week in practice. If you want to know who those players are that are out, you'll just have to listen to the broadcast tonight. We'll tell you all about it, starting with our pregame at 6:30 tonight on KD Country 94 on KDCountry94.com, and also live video stream via the Beloit Trojan channel at NCKSSports.com. So look forward to this matchup tonight. You know, I have people asking me, of course, each week, and as we get in the playoffs, I get this asked a lot. I know you get asked a lot when you get into playoff games, whether it be basketball or football or volleyball or whatever, is, well, who do you think is going to win? Who do you think has the edge? I have no idea. I mean, when I look at the paper and I look at the size, I would say Haven has the advantage because they could just, you know, they could maybe beat Beloit in the trenches. But I've also seen Beloit teams over the years, they might be undersized. That doesn't matter because they are maybe just better with leverage. They're more assignment sound. We've seen it with Osborne football over the years. They might be not as big, but they're quicker. They cause problems with disruptions. I mean, they got a kid on the line, Haven, that's 300 pounds. Now, does that mean that kid's automatically a great player? No, just because he's 300 pounds on the lineman, he can't move hardly at all, and that might be a liability. But you immediately think on the line, well, goodness gracious, there's just no way. But Beloit's got some good size, too. And, you know, based off what you hear Thomas Cooperrider say, I think that tells you that, yeah, our team's big, but they might not be as physical as you may think. Just because a team is big doesn't mean they're super physical. Mm-hmm. And Haven may be that, and we'll find out tonight. It should be a good one, and I really don't know which way this game is going to go. I believe that if Beloit plays like they have been the last two games, and, of course, they didn't play last week due to the forfeit by Phillipsburg with COVID-19. If Beloit plays like they did against Hoisington and TMP, I think Beloit will win tonight. Notice the word if. It's one of the smallest words in the English language, but yet it's one of the biggest words. Because if Beloit plays like they did in some of their other games this year, they will not win tonight. If they play like they did against Concordia, and if they play like they did against Hoisington TMP, they will win tonight. But this team is young and inexperienced in various places, and also it is a road trip to Haven. Also, Beloit could be a little bit rusty not having a game last week, or that could be a blessing because they have more time to prepare for Haven, and also that they can heal up a little bit. But as I told you, they're a little bit shorthanded on both sides of the ball going this game tonight as well. One, because of, I won't even go into it, but it's nothing COVID-related. Let's just put it that way, okay? I can tell you the kid on the defense side of the ball that's not going to start had a freak injury this week in practice, unfortunately. So, Beloit's going to have a few guys step up in a couple of different positions. But Haven's a team that wants to, at times, run no huddle. They want to go tempo and rhythm. And Beloit can put together those, you know, 10, 11, 12-play drives. And we certainly know Beloit can do that. Then all of a sudden, the other team can't get into a rhythm offensively. And we've seen that where teams try to do that against the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, and it sometimes works for a while. Well, Haven is not the Kansas City Chiefs. No disrespect to Haven, but they're not the Kansas City Chiefs. And if they were, I don't think Beloit would have a chance tonight or anybody else. But
no.
They're playing Haven. So the other thing is Beloit's been here before in regards to the program has. There's a few kids that played last year on the team that played some minutes at the varsity level in the state quarterfinals that are playing this year for Beloit, whereas Haven hasn't been in this situation before. And that could bode well for Beloit a little bit. But I really have no idea to say who's going to win. I think it's a coin flip game personally. But if it plays like they have recently, I think they're in great shape. If they make a couple of mistakes, a couple of turnovers, I think they're probably going to be in some trouble. So it will be interesting because I don't really know Haven's strength of schedule. I mean, it looks like they got some decent wins, and they've played some good teams, but they haven't played the schedule that Beloit has. But their schedule's better than what TMP's was. And then also trying to judge from beating Hutch Trinity two times, once by two in the regular season, the second time when they're missing their top two quarterbacks, Hutch Trinity was, that's hard to gauge as well because that game was 6-6 at halftime. But I don't know. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens tonight at Haven, and I'm looking forward to it. You have a relation in Haven, so.
Yeah, my sister lives like two houses to the south of the football field. So, yeah, she can't go. They have limitations on how many fans can go. She's like, this would be the year for me to go watch my team play.
Yeah.
She works there at the elementary school, too, as a para. So, my sister, brother-in-law, I'm a couple nephews, and, they live there, and they're excited for their football team for sure, and I see her Facebook. They're excited down there about it for sure, but we're excited up here about it, too.
Well, they can watch it on the live video stream at NCKSports.com. Be the Blood Treasure Channel. Pregame 6:30 tonight. Kickoff at 7, also on Katie Country 94 and KatieCountry94.com. And taking a look at that 2A bracket before we move to 1A and hear from Darren Sass at Smith Center. At the top half of the bracket, Pittsburgh Colgan hosting in Pittsburgh Rossville. Rossville, the favorite to come out of the top half of the bracket, although Nemaw Central just beat Silver Lake, and Nemaw Central defending champion. They're at Osage City tonight. The other two quarterfinals, Haven hosting Beloit, as we mentioned, at 7 tonight, and at 6 o'clock, earlier start, Hoisington hosting Garden Plain. Garden Plain got by Hillsborough, and of course Hillsborough is a team that beat Haven earlier in the year, so that's a good team that Haven played. And Hoisington got a bye last week, or a forfeit win, because Cimarron had to forego because of COVID-19. So it'd be interesting to see how Hoisington plays. Garden Plain, Hoisington, I think, is a tough game to figure. I'm leaning towards Hoisington, but, I mean, in years past, I'd say Garden Plain, but I've been told Garden Plain isn't the team they once were back in their heyday. Hoisington's not as good as last year's team, but you could very well see Beloit-Hoisington in the state semifinals next Friday in Beloit, and that'd be a fun rematch. That'd be great, because no matter, as long as Beloit wins, they will host the state semifinals next Friday in Beloit. Doesn't matter who wins, Garden Plain, Hoisington, Beloit will host the winner of that game next Friday if Beloit gets by Haven. So that's good news for Beloit fans. But tonight you have to travel or watch it on the video stream or listen on the radio. So that's the 2A bracket. In the Class 1A bracket, Smith Center, of course, still alive, as they are each and every year, it seems, this deep in the season. Traditional powerhouse, used to be in 3A, then 2A, and now 1A, of course. And Darren Sass, head coach of Smith Center, his team with a rematch with Oakley, a team that they took care of fairly easily early in a year. And Coach Sass says Oakley will be a battle the second time around.
A hard-nosed team. Coach Hennick and his staff do a tremendous job. And we've noticed that the last several years, that even when we've beat them, it's always been a dogfight. And you know, that's what we expect. We see on film, that's the way they are. And running the ball. They're not going to try to finesse you and do stuff. They're just going to run it right at you. And that's kind of rare today. You know, that's kind of what I think we do. I think that's what Centralia does out east. You know, and I think when you look at some of the successful teams, that's what you still see.
42-14, was that the final earlier in the year? Yep. Smith Center and Oakley. I got to be careful. I don't want to get bulletin board material to anybody here. but I will say, you saw Smith Center second time around against El Saline. It wasn't as easy the second time around. Yeah. Oakley had improved. Yeah, I don't think it'll be as easy for Smith Center this time around against Oakley. I think they've improved. I think Smith Center has too. This game's at Smith Center tonight at 7 o'clock. Smith Center 9-1. Of course, their loss was the week one loss to Norton at the beginning of the season. Oakley 8-2, so another rematch for Smith Center. And the winner of that game will get the winner of Conway Springs, Inman. Inman, of course, gave Smith Center all they could handle in the district championship game a few weeks back. Conway Springs, a powerhouse for many years, but barely got by Plainville. Conway's not as formidable as they once were either, by the way. Conway Springs hosting Inman tonight. And if Smith Center wins, would they be, what's their situation, home and road?
Oh, man, I haven't
figured that up.
Deep, yeah.
Okay, that'd be nice. Olpe against Uniontown. Olpe wins by forfeit 1-0 because Uniontown had to forfeit due to COVID-19. So Olpe's had a cakewalk to the state semis because they had a bye in the first round. And then Jackson Heights, who's not that good this year, they beat them 53-0. Jackson Heights was 4-4 going into that game. And then Olpe gets a bye. And so now they await the winner of the defending state champion Centralia, who's 9-1, hosting Linden, who's 8-2. So Olpe awaits the winner of that one in one state semifinal next week. The other state semifinal will be the winners of Smith Center versus Oakley, Conway Springs versus Inman, and Dusty is now feverishly trying to figure out where that game will be played next week.
If they play Inman, it'll be at Inman. I do know that.
Okay, so Smith Center and Inman win, it'll be at Inman. If it's Smith Center and Conway Springs has two home games. Smith Center have two home games, so you'd have to go to the formula for this year for the sub-state round in Class 1A, which it is available there. It should be fairly easy to pull it up and pretty quickly. We'll move on to eight-man Division 1 as I pull that up, and it is Chase County against Little River in Little River. Little River 8-2. Chase County is 8-2. It's top half of the bracket. Madison undefeated 10-0 at Canton Galva 10-0. Two undefeateds. Canton Galva the favorite. Canton Galva defending state champion. Bottom half of the bracket in Leota will be Leota Wichita County, who's undefeated, hosting Argonia. That's a 6 o'clock kick tonight. And also at 6 o'clock tonight, Hoxie will be at Gossel. Hoxie 8-1. And Gossel, who won in double overtime over Pratt Skyline last week, is 5-3. Got it figured out?
Should be at Smith Center.
Should be at Smith Center. There you go. So Smith Center won't have to.
If they play Conway Springs.
If they play Conway Springs, so Smith Center. So if Smith Center gets to play Conway Springs, Smith Center will not have to leave Smith Center until the state championship game. That's a pretty sweet setup.
Yes.
Didn't Osborne have that one year where they didn't have to go?
They did, yeah. They got lucky because Dighton beat somebody, and they weren't expecting that. And so Dighton had to come to Osborne. And, yeah, it worked out pretty well.
I remember we kept talking about how just every week, oh, hey, Osmond's hosting. Yeah. I was like, really? Seriously? Eight-man Division 2, Hanover at 6 o'clock hosting Colony Crest. Both teams are undefeated, but I'll take Hanover in that one as long as they've got everybody available. There has been some COVID up there. Lebo is at Frankfort. Lebo undefeated. Frankfort 6-1. A lot of people around here don't like Frankfort.
A lot of people.
Lakeside and St. John's Tipton fans don't like Frankfort. Frankfort going through the NPL. Now they are moving on to take on Lebo. Lebo probably would be the favorite, but I wouldn't be surprised if Frankfort could win that game. Victoria undefeated. They will be at Grainfield. I wonder if Parker's ever been to Grainfield, Kansas.
I don't know.
I'm going to say probably not, but you never know. Wheatland-Grinnell, the Thunderhawks. Wheatland used to be the Shockers. That tells you how old I am. Wheatland-Grinnell, 8-2 versus Victoria. Victoria will be a heavy favorite in that one. At Grainfield, if you don't know where Grainfield is, it's west.
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 West of Quinter.
It's west of Quinter, yes, and west of where I grew up. Called and Dusty. Caldwell and St. Francis play at 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon in St. Francis. St. Francis would be the favorite in that one. And then,
6-hour one-way road trip, over 6 hours for Caldwell.
So they're going to play at 1.
It's 12 hours of driving for probably not a very long football game, I'm guessing.
So they're going to leave at what, 5 in the morning, 6 in the morning?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you play a game like at 3 o'clock then so you could not have to get up so darn early?
Yeah, I don't know, because like they played Buckland last Saturday at 11, St. Francis did.
Wow.
So they're like, we probably don't want to play at 11.
Wow.
So they move it to 1, and that's insane.
You got no KU or K-State games to worry about. Sometimes people talk about that when getting these situations.
Yeah.
The Class 3A bracket, Southeast Saline from the NCAA is still alive. They're undefeated. No, they'll have a chore tonight. They'll be at Wichita Collegiate. Collegiate's 9-1. And Riley County, 8-1, is hosting Andale, who's undefeated. Winner of those two games will meet in the state semis next Friday. Prairie View, Lacine, 8-1, will be at Perry LeCompton, who's 9-1 and got by Hayden last week. And Holton will be at Frontenac. Holton, 8-1, and Frontenac, 6-4. Good little jaunt for Holton all the way down to Southeast Kansas. For a look at the rest of the 4A, 5A, 6A brackets, or any of the brackets I just went through, you can visit ncksports.com. Anything you want to add about the high school football for tonight?
No, I'm just looking forward to seeing how everything plays out here. I'm hoping that we can get through the full day without any of these games that we're talking about being canceled again because of any COVID issues. So we've been lucky on that front. We've only had one so far this week. But, looking forward to seeing how everything plays out this evening and seeing if we can get these local teams back in, get to the semifinals, just one step closer to the state championship.
That would be awesome. Big 12 this week. It's, you know, really, for everybody here in this area, what is there to do this weekend in regards to football
fans? Sportscast. I'm like, I don't know if I've ever done this where K-State, KU, and Chiefs are all in a bye in the same weekend.
And Oklahoma fans around here don't play either. Now Nebraska plays, but they're not the Nebraska of the good old days, that's for sure. Big 12 games, there's no ranked team. TCU at West Virginia. West Virginia, a three-point favorite. Both teams 3-3 in the Big 12, 11 a.m. on Fox tomorrow. And Baylor, 1-4 at Texas Tech, who's 2-5. And both teams near the bottom of the Big 12, just barely ahead of Kansas, or shall I say way ahead of Kansas, despite only one more win. Texas Tech is a 1.5-point favorite in that one. That's on FS1 tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Next week, KU will host Texas at 2:30 on Z96.3 Lake. And also next Saturday, K-State will be at the nationally ranked Iowa State at 3 o'clock. And Oklahoma State will be at Oklahoma for Bedlam next Saturday at 6:30. So it is weird. No Chiefs, no Sooners, no Wildcats, no Jayhawks for football this week.
Yes, it's...
I've got to come up with an excuse so I don't have to do anything around the house. So yeah. What am I going to come up with? Big Ten football, 11 a.m. Tomorrow morning, FS1, Nebraska 0-2. Penn State is 0-3, but Penn State's still a 3-point favorite at Nebraska. First home game of the year for the Huskers. Nebraska lost at Ohio State. Their first home game against Wisconsin was canceled due to COVID-19 for the Badgers. And then they lost to Northwestern last week, 21-13. Penn State lost at Indiana by in overtime, lost to Ohio State, and then lost to Maryland last week, which was a bit surprising to some. Scott Frost, head coach of the Huskers, impressed by Penn State, despite the fact they are 0-3.
Man, they're a really talented football team. You look at their defensive guys and just the length and speed they have everywhere. You know, they've had kind of some unfortunate things happen to them here at the beginning of the year. I know they weren't expecting to be where they are, but it's a really, really good team, really talented team we have coming in here.
All right. Nebraska win this week or not?
I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say no as well. Then be 0-3. And people will start making fun of him like, you really wanted to play football? We were trying to spare you guys.
Yeah.
You hear all the jokes already. I think Steve Frost is cool too, but that's his twin brother. Scott Frost, I think, is a good coach. I do. I just think it's going to take time. And I know some people are getting impatient. I know his record isn't good compared to a lot of other coaches. Obviously not as good as Bo Pelini even. But I think Nebraska – we'll give him the time. I think the leadership there will.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know who else you're going to get to come in and be the head coach of Nebraska right now. It's not the desirable job it once was. The landscape has changed. But patience, I know, is hard to come by. Ask KU football fans. You know?
Yeah. That frost warning is no longer a threat that they were talking about a couple years back.
No.
At this point in time.
No,
so,
except for themselves.
Yeah.
Yes, you're right about that.
Man, it's, yeah.
Top 25, there is a game today. East Carolina is at Cincinnati. Cincinnati ranks 7th in the country. That's on ESPN2 this evening at 6:30. Number 20, USC is at Arizona. Number 11, Oregon is at Washington State. Number 9, Miami is at Virginia Tech. Number 10, Indiana is at Michigan State at 11 a.m. tomorrow. Number 15, Coastal Carolina is undefeated at Troy. Middle Tennessee is at number 16, Marshall. Western Carolina is at number 22, Liberty. South Alabama is at number 25, Louisiana. Number 23, Northwestern, who beat Nebraska last week, now ranked, is at Purdue. Number 2, Notre Dame, is at Boston College. I think it'd be funny if Notre Dame lost after beating Clemson, but we shall see. Number 19, SMU, is at Tulsa. Arkansas is at number 6, Florida. And then, of course, you got number 13, Wisconsin, is at Michigan. Michigan now not ranked. And then you got all the games postponed. Georgia 12 at Missouri postponed. Number 3, Ohio State at Maryland canceled. Number 5, Texas A&M at Tennessee. That's been postponed. Number 24, Auburn at Mississippi State, postponed. And number 1, Alabama at LSU, postponed. All those games postponed or canceled due to COVID-19. So there you have 5 games involving ranked teams that aren't happening. So that dilutes the schedule. And on top of that, the Big 12 has basically a bye week except for 4 teams. And really, quite honestly, and the best team in the Big 10 isn't playing because of a cancellation, this is the chance for the Pac-12 to make a statement.
Yeah.
They're kind of front and center.
This is your weekend.
This is your weekend.
Let's do it.
Enjoy it because you might not play for the rest of the year. Just a weird year. It's a light schedule when it comes to top 25 this weekend in college football. The NFL, week 10. We'll go through the matchups here in a little bit. The Chiefs will not play. They are 8-1. Mecole Hardman on the reserve COVID-19 list, if you didn't know that, although it doesn't sound like he – I don't think he has it. I think he's a contact trace. Andy Reid was asked about Patrick Mahomes and his work ethic. It's very interesting. Listen to Big Red talk about his MVP quarterback, who, if he keeps going like he is, will be the MVP again this year. Chiefs trying to run it back and win the Super Bowl for the second straight year. Chiefs 8-1 going in their bye week. Next week, a big matchup on Sunday Night Football at Las Vegas to take on the Raiders, which you can hear on a home for the Chiefs in North Central Kansas, Z96.3 Lake. Here's Reid on Mahomes' work ethic.
His preparation is phenomenal. He's in a great room with guys that love to work too. he doesn't have to sit there and beg a coach to come in and watch tape or beg a Chad Henne to come in and watch tape. These guys are all in with him, and he's leading the charge, and they're right there with him. So he it's a great environment for him. It's headed up by Eric. I mean, nobody works harder than Eric Bieniemy, and so he's able to organize that and keep the guys going. Mike Kafka is relentless that way too, and Patrick, Chad. I mean, that it's just a good. It's a healthy room, and so you can build a foundation there. I mean, as you watch the tape, you can bounce things off of one of these people that are in there, and it's kind of a check and double check system that they've got, and it works. So, but I love Patrick's approach to the game. I love his approach every day, his consistency. Some guys are up and down, and you get a different person one day and another guy the next day. I mean, this guy is the same guy every day, and he's going to bring it. And he's going to bring it on the field. He's going to bring it off the field, and he's smart. So it's great. I've said this before, but it's great for young kids to know that it's not just all talent, but it's the hard work that goes into it. Exploit what you've got, take and make it even greater than what you have right now, and you can always work on it to become better.
All right, Andy Reid on Patrick Mahomes' work ethic. I mean, he just doesn't show up, and it's automatic. You know, it's kind of like, well, you guys just talk. That's all you do, right? On radio, it's pretty easy. That's a pretty easy job, right? You just get on you just turn on a button, hit a button, you just talk. That's all you guys do is talk. Ball games are easy. You just go up and talk. No, that's not how it works. We could do that, and it'll be a horrible broadcast. This show here has two pages of notes for the show today. Yeah. It's called Preparation Organization, and if you don't have it, I think your coy listeners will read right through you. Mahomes has a great work ethic. He is a terrific leader. He's young at 25. He has all the intangibles. He to me, it sounds really weird, and I know there's some people out there that don't like LeBron James, but I compare Patrick Mahomes to LeBron James. Not because of the hype. He didn't have nearly as much hype as LeBron did. But the reason I compare him to LeBron James is you really don't have to worry about LeBron getting in trouble off the court. Okay? You might not agree with some of his views, but he has a right to express his views, just like Patrick Mahomes has as well.
Yes.
Okay? And so you just don't worry about Mahomes doing something really stupid or dumb. You understand that him and LeBron were wise beyond their years early in their careers, as we're seeing so far. And they both have tremendous work ethics. They both have amazing intestinal fortitude. They both want to be the best, not just this year, but probably of all time.
Yeah.
And Mahomes knows it's within reach. He knows if he stays healthy and keeps getting better, that if he plays 10 more years in this league, he very well could be considered the greatest quarterback that ever played the game. It's possible. I'm not saying he is or he will be. I'm just saying he could be. He has everything. He's off to an amazing start so far.
Yeah.
And, of course, LeBron got off to a really amazing start as well. Now, he didn't win a championship so early as Mahomes has. But I think they're comparable from that standpoint. They're both mature beyond their years when there was a lot of fame on him early, a lot of money thrown at them early. And now, of course, there's even more pressure on Mahomes now. There was more on LeBron when he came out of high school, clearly. But these guys are, guys that can be role models. I think we got to be careful to put athletes on a pedestal and have them as role models. I had, George Brett was kind of my role model. Now over the years, I've learned some of the things George Brett did. And, I'm still like George Brett. I still love George Brett. He's one of my favorite players of all time. But if I'd known a few things back then growing up that George Brett, maybe my mom and dad would be like, I don't know if George is the greatest role model or not. Guess what? Everybody has a little bit of fun, right? I'll leave it there. But, Mahomes, you don't have to worry about him. At least you don't feel like it. Same thing with LeBron. Leaving a smear on the game. You don't have to worry about him, doing something really horrible on the field or off the field or on the court or off the court. I mean, and when the things that you do pick on with LeBron is he didn't get back on defense on a play. Oh, yeah, that's not a crime. He sat out a game for load management. Some of that is based on the team telling him to do that. Mm-hmm. Always just him. You know, walking off the court when there's 5 seconds to go in the game, yeah, it doesn't look super great, but at the end of the day, does it really matter? No, the game was over. You know, when you have to nitpick that far, and people did that to Tim Tebow too, when you got to nitpick so far and dig so deep to come up with something, then you know you've got something special. And LeBron is special, and there's no doubt Patrick Mahomes is special. Does that make sense, that analogy?
Well, yeah, it sure does. No doubt. It's funny you brought up the George Brett thing because, like say, George Brett was your favorite player, right, so growing up. So,
and he's the greatest athlete in Kansas City sports history until Mahomes.
Yeah.
And Mahomes has exceeded him already.
Yeah, but when you were a kid, you had no idea what George Brett was doing outside of what he was doing on the baseball field.
I did not.
And I got into an argument one time when Trent was here about Michael Jordan, right? So we wanted to be like Mike, right? We had the Gatorade commercials. Sure. We had all that stuff. We wanted to be like Mike.
Yeah.
We wanted to be like Mike on the court because that's what we knew. We didn't know that Mike had a gambling addiction.
Yeah.
I mean, you might have. You're a little bit older by the time, you know, all that was coming out.
That didn't matter to me.
But no, he's like, well, you can't separate the personal life with the professional life.
Sure you can.
Absolutely you can. Absolutely. I did not know anything about Michael Jordan's gambling thing because we had the one channel that I could watch,
right,
he was on playing games. It wasn't a news channel that, you know, they didn't treat it like they do nowadays anyway with the off the field news that they seem to cover more now, and it seems to be a little bit more available now. But I think that's even true for kids today, right?
Mm-hmm.
They don't care what LeBron James is doing off the court. They want to be like LeBron for what he does on the court.
Mm-hmm.
These kids want to be like. I mean, there's kids that have their hair like Patrick Mahomes all over the place here because they see him take his helmet off on the field. They want to be like Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
And they really want to be like him on the field. And some people
In some ways it's bad because they're doing these sidearm throws that they can't really do.
It's bad that we're watching him on the field because these high school kids and maybe even junior high kids are trying to do this. And they're like, yeah, you can't do it. You're not Patrick Mahomes. Let's just be honest here.
Right.
But I think that's, you know, we talk about, and it is great that they're not getting into any trouble off the field or off the court, right? But what I'm trying to get across is, like, a lot of these kids that are looking up to these guys, they're not looking up to who they are as a human being. They're looking up to who they are as an athlete. And I think that holds true today just like it did back when we were growing up.
I agree. And kids.
But there is a little bit more info out there that they could seep into them a little easier.
I'll take it a step further, though. You said kids not, you know, they can separate it. In your discussion with Shrant back in the day, I remember that conversation, and I was totally on your side on that one. And Mike was wrong on that one, and here's why. Because all you got to do, let's take it one step further. It's not just kids that are younger that can differentiate and they can separate the personal from the professional. Fans can't either. Fans can do it.
Yeah.
They do it all the time. What do you think Tyreek Hill? If you're so horribly mad at what Tyreek Hill allegedly did, remember all that? That didn't stop people from selling out Arrowhead the last few years, has it?
No.
Has it stopped Pittsburgh Steelers fans from packing the stadium after Ben Roethlisberger's situation?
No.
I mean, let's go. Larry Johnson. Did that stop Chiefs fans from supporting Larry Johnson when he could help them win football games when he was beating up women? Okay. I mean, let's be honest about this.
Yeah.
Derek Thomas was a womanizer, and Derek Thomas had an alcohol problem. Did Chiefs fans worry about what he was doing off the field? No. All they cared about was when it was Sunday, he was ready to sack the quarterback.
He's getting sacked.
Fans and kids who are fans. Fans who are fans, adults, I don't care what the age is, I don't care what gender you are and what color of your skin is, they can separate it. Because they might start, and let's be honest, they can really honestly separate it somewhat now if you don't agree with their social injustice stands.
There's a lot of that going on.
Or if they stand or kneel during the anthem. Now, some people, you know, do put all that together and say, I can't support that player, but yet they still support the team, which, by the way, that means you're kind of supporting the player because he's part of the organization.
Yeah.
But you really want to make a statement, you completely just dump that team. And people say they're going to do that, but they usually don't. Now, there might be some that have, don't get me wrong, but most people totally can separate that. It's not that difficult. You know, I'm going to tell you, I'm a huge Chiefs fan. I'm a huge Royals fan. Listen, I can tell you that I'm going to guess that if I got to know every single Chiefs player personally and every single Royals player personally, I'm going to guess there's some of them that I wouldn't like and I'd actually despise.
Oh, yeah.
That are horrible people.
100%. Like, and that's life, right? Like,
but I don't know them, and I don't need to know them, and I don't have to know them. And I'm only, honestly, it sounds cruel and weird. Not weird, but just that, I mean, dude, all I need to know is your entertainment, and so you play well. And that's what some people say. All I need to know about is you play. I don't need to know about your social injustice stand. And I get that. I get where people are coming from. But they have a right to it. And if I'm interested in Patrick Mahomes and what he thinks about social injustice, I'm cool with that. And if you don't care and want to ignore it, you can. You can hold it against Mahomes all you want. But at the end of the day, he's one hell of a quarterback, and he's an exciting player to watch, and he's the quarterback of my favorite team. So I'm not going to let that rain on my parade and spoil my party. So I can differentiate it, and I think most people can. Personal, professional. You're worried on Sunday, at least, for those 3 hours when you're watching the game. You're not worried. Are you really watching the game and going, really wish Mahomes wasn't on that player video about social injustice? No. You're probably going, that's a funny State Farm commercial.
Yeah.
And that about the only thing that isn't tied to the actual on the field. You're not – most people and fans are not thinking during the game when they're cheering on their team, yeah, you know, I really feel guilty and dirty because Tyreek Hill's on this team and I'm cheering him on. I don't see people doing that.
Yeah. It's interesting you bring up, you know, because you don't know these people and you're just – you're in on it. Like, somebody's probably had – like an experience. I know I've had an experience. I'll just use an example for me. Like all we got at growing up was Wichita TV stations, right? So there's a sports guy in Wichita that I thought was really, really cool, right? I like watched all of his, but he's not there anymore. So I'm not going to say his name still, but there's a sports guy there. So I really thought he was cool. First time I ever went to K-State game to be in the press box. Mm-hmm. I met him there. Total jerk.
Yep.
Like one of the most, you know, self-centered,
right,
not cool individuals. Another guy that was working with him the same time, I had met the second time I went to the K-State game, the nicest guy you'll ever meet. Mm-hmm. And it was like, I like this one better as a sportscaster, but this one's way nicer. You know, like, and mm-hmm. you know, I didn't not like him when he was working in Wichita, but it was like, it's just like, mm-hmm. it's crazy. Like, you build these expectations up, right? Mm-hmm. So I love Patrick Mahomes, let's say. He comes off as the nicest guy in the world a lot. Right. You know, what if I met Patrick Mahomes and had a bad experience and now he's a jerk and now I don't want to cheer for him?
Right.
Then there's people that, like Joe Buck is a good example. Like, I've had people that said, I met Joe Buck, nicest guy ever. Mm-hmm. I've had other people say, I met Joe Buck, just the worst human being in the world.
Like, yeah, how can it be both?
Yeah, I'm like, somebody had a bad experience one time where Joe Buck was probably busy, didn't have time to do anything or say anything or whatever.
And but stressed.
It's just like, it's interesting that you brought that up. Like, we don't know these people, but then when you go and meet these people, like, you get one chance really to make your, on people like that, to make your assessment of what you think of them. And I'm not going to lie, in this business, I've met some people that I've been soured on of like my youth experience with what I thought and who I thought they were.
I'll just throw one out there that somebody's told me about, and I've never met the guy, but I'm going off a story from somebody I know that's met him. And Jacques Vaughn was one of my favorite basketball players ever at KU. I just loved how he played, and I've heard multiple stories actually from different people. And now he, you know, was interim coach with the Nets last year in the playoffs, and so he's moved up the ranks. And you got to be liked by somebody to move up in the ranks and be a coach at the assistant coach or head coach at one point with the Magic, and then helping out with the Nets last year. But Jacques Vaughn, from what I've been told by, and once again, I haven't met him, so that's probably not fair. But there was multiple people say he's just, you know, ruined their image of him because he was not very nice.
Yes.
So, you know, it happens sometimes. You're right. You build it up, and then. And like you said, it could be that they're in a hurry and they blow you off, and it's so important to you personally because that's your person that you idolize growing up. But they have tons of people that idolize them, so they don't. You're just a fan. Whereas for you, you are the person thinking about, oh my God, I'd love to meet this person or whatever else. But you know, from what I hear, Patrick Mahomes is straight up a good dude. But you know, he can have his days. We're all human. Well, where he could be bombarded by people, autographs, and finally, he's like, dude, I'm done, and you walk off, and then people get mad that didn't get autographs, saying he's a jerk because he didn't sign, even though he signed for an hour.
Yeah,
he didn't sign for 2 hours, so he's a jerk. Or what they don't know is the Chiefs personnel said he's got to go. He's got to go. Patrick, if we let Patrick do this, he'd do it all day. We got to make him go to do something else. So, but Mahomes' work ethic is second to none from what we understand, and Andy Reid's been around a lot of great quarterbacks, hasn't he? Brett Favre.
Yeah, absolutely.
Donovan McNabb. And, you know,
all the guys in between that aren't, like, as known as that, but they're still pretty good quarterbacks that he's worked with.
No doubt about it. All right, NFL Week 10 this weekend. It's the Eagles at the Giants. Eagles trying to hold on to their lead in the NFC least. I have renamed it. The Jaguars at the Packers. Packers 6-2. Washington football team with Alex Smith at quarterback at the Lions. Lions 3-5. Texans 2-6 at the Browns, 5-3. The Buccaneers 6-3 at the Panthers, 3-6. I think that's a dangerous game for the Buccaneers. They keep playing like they have. Panthers are going to win that game, even if McCaffrey doesn't play. Chargers at the Dolphins, a team that should be 6-2 against the Dolphins, who are playing some good ball right now. The Broncos, these are the late games at 3 o'clock. The Broncos are 3-5, the Raiders 5-3. If you're a Chiefs fan, you probably want to cheer for the Broncos in that game a little bit. But honestly, if you're really a Chiefs fan, you know what it's like. You're sitting here going, I'm not worried about the Raiders. Unless you don't want the Raiders to make the playoffs, you really don't need to worry about who wins that game, because the Chiefs take care of business next Sunday night in Las Vegas, and the division is theirs again, as most people expect. The Bills at the Cardinals, an interesting game at 3:05 on CBS on Sunday. Bills are 7-2, the Cardinals 5-3, and the Bills, you know, got the Steelers that come to their place. The AFC East isn't super hard with the Patriots being down, although the Bills will still have to play the Dolphins, who are a team that's up ascending. But the Bills are a team that's not out of getting that number one seed in the AFC yet. 49ers, 4-5, tons of injuries at the Saints, 6-2. You know, this is where the Saints somehow would stumble, wouldn't they? After a big win over the Bucks, yeah. But the Niners are so banged up, I just don't see it happening. Another good game, Seahawks 6-2 at the Rams, 5-3. Let me tell you something. If the Rams win that game and the Cardinals win against the Bills at home, you would have a three-way tie at the top of the NFC West at 6-3. Wow. Through nine games.
Yeah.
The Bengals at the Steelers, I think that's a dangerous game for the Steelers, although they've had a couple of close calls recently. Steelers trying to stay undefeated. We know all the Dolphin players from 72 are cheering on the Bengals in that one so that the Steelers don't go undefeated. Ravens at the Patriots, that normally be a really good Sunday night game, and I think it still will be competitive. Patriots 3-5, the Ravens are 6-2, and oddly enough, you're a Chiefs fan, or, yeah, I mean, you know, if you want the Ravens to kind of, I don't know what you care about there. I mean, the Chiefs have a two-game lead over the Ravens because they have a one-game lead, plus they have the tiebreaker beating head-to-head, so you're really concerned about the Ravens. But at the same time, you know, Patriots probably won't make the playoffs anyway. Maybe you cheer for the Patriots. You're a Chiefs fan there. And then the Vikings are at the Bears. That's Monday Night Football. The Bears are really struggling offensively. It doesn't matter who they play at quarterback, Foles or Trubisky. They're 5-4, and the Vikings are 3-5. And I really like what the Vikings are doing right now. The Vikings just – I think this lack of offseason, if there's one NFL team that was hurt more than anybody for this lack of offseason, I think it's the Vikings. I don't know why. I mean, they got quarterback back, but they did have to reshuffle some things on defense. You know, Dalvin Cook is back, and they've got some talented wideouts. They got the Jefferson kid, a rookie, that maybe, you know, he's getting more acclimated, and he's an outstanding player. I think the Vikings can still get into the playoffs. And if they beat the Bears, suddenly, you know, if the Packers stumble and they beat the Bears, they're only a couple games out against the Packers, and I think they play the Packers. I think they play them again this year. I don't know for sure, but I think the Vikings could still sneak in and get a wild card.
Yeah.
I mean, they're playing some good ball right now. They really are. So if you had to give the MVP to who, would it be Mahomes at this midway
me,
point?
It'd be Mahomes right
I think
now,
it's
yeah.
pretty easy pick, honestly.
Now, if you asked me 3 weeks ago, I probably would have said Russ, but
I
he's
agree.
Struggling now.
I agree with that. Second on my list wouldn't even be Russell Wilson. Aaron Rodgers would be second on my list. One would be Mahomes, two would be Rodgers. And then after that, I think I might go Russell after that. Coach of the year at this point?
Oh, man.
I'd go Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, probably so.
They're undefeated. Yeah. You know, they find ways to win. And here's the thing. Mike Tomlin doesn't get enough credit, in my opinion.
No.
I know there are some Steelers fans telling me they want to get rid of him a couple years ago. I said, listen, if I didn't have Andy Reid as my coach, I'd take him in a heartbeat. You're sour on Mike Tomlin. All he's done is win 14 straight years. Every year he's been head coach at Pittsburgh, he's had a winning record, including last year when he didn't have Roethlisberger the whole year. He's a heck of a coach.
Yes.
And his players love him and respect him. And I play for that dude. I definitely would. So I think Tomlin's a really good coach.
I generally like his attitude about everything, too, for the most part. You know, he's like a no-nonsense. Like, that. If it's realistic to most people, it's realistic to him. Like,
right.
Like he said earlier this year, like when they had to lose their bye week later in the season, had to use it with the Titans game. Who cares?
Yeah.
Am I going to complain about when my bye week is? We're
right.
Going to go play football. Who cares?
No, I agree with you. I agree with you. You could give John Gruden some love for Coach of the Year.
Yeah.
You could give Sean McDermott with Buffalo some love. I mean, you could still give Andy Reid love for Coach of the Year. You know, honestly, Frank Reich of the Colts maybe. So there's some guys that you could give some love for Coach of the Year. But I think Tomlin would be my pick right now.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Rookie of the Year, to me, that's easy. That's Joe Burrow, without question. And the defense rookie year might be Patrick Queen, and they're both LSU guys. And you got Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who's the leading rookie rusher. Justin Jefferson's the leading rookie receiver, and they're all from
LSU.
National champion LSU. Yeah. That team was a little bit stacked last year.
Yeah.
perhaps maybe the greatest national champion of all time in college football, if you really look
as
at the numbers.
As far as who they were and what they were, yeah.
Pretty dominant, no doubt. Okay, eventful day, first day of the Masters. They are underway with round two. They had to finish up round one. They had a three-hour weather delay. And let's update you on where we are. And, wow, Dustin Johnson suddenly got hot.
Yeah.
Wow, Dustin Johnson is 7-under. He's just through one hole today, so he had to finish up his first round
he
today.
Got
he got hot
end.
At the
yeah.
end.
He was
wow.
7-under at the end of the first round. Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, going into today before they finished that round, he wasn't even in the top five. So
no,
he,
I think he was at
what
two
was
or three.
I was going to say.
Yeah. I can't remember exactly.
I know he wasn't. I know he was no better than 3-under. So here's your leaderboard right now. Dustin Johnson, the number one player in the world, is 7-under. Paul Casey had a great 65 yesterday. He's 7-under. A couple guys at 6-under, and then Justin Thomas, who had a great round yesterday, is 5-under. Justin Rose is 5-under. Xander Schlafly, 5-under. Webb Simpson, 5-under. You know, Phil Mickelson is 4-under now, and Tiger Woods is 4-under, and he tees off later today at 1:30 Central Time. And I tell you, that's what CBS needs. I mean, if you're a fan, that's what I want. You know, I want to see the best golfers duel it out. And I think it's unbelievable leaderboard you've got right now. And the way it's soft because of the rain yesterday is that it's a lot easier to score high score or good scores under par. And that means the greatest golfers in the world, that means they can go crazy and they can go nuts. They can birdie five in a row. They can get eagle opportunities. And you got some big hitters here. You know, having Dustin Johnson top of leaderboard, and you've got Justin Thomas only a couple back, Phil Mickelson's three back, Tiger's three back, and a chance to defend his Masters championship. I mean, you got Patrick Reed, who's an outstanding golfer. I mean, you got some big-time names that are right there. And I know it's early in round two here this morning. John Rahm, who's 3-under. He's one of the best players in the world. You've got some big-time. Ricky Fowler's 3-under right now. Lee Westwood's 4-under. You got some big-time names, a lot of major winners. Matsuyama is 4-under. Ushuizen is 4-under. I mean, this is a loaded leaderboard so far, and the fact that everything, the greens are soft, you can fly it and it can stick it without worrying about it rolling off the green, allows these guys that are, you know, really accurate hitters or maybe less accurate, they can take more chances, be more aggressive, and thus you're going to get really some great scores. And it's fun to watch. The only down thing is there's no gallery, there's no fans.
Yeah.
Tiger talked about that yesterday. He goes, when you're at the bottom of a hill and you hit a shot, you always knew if it was good or not because the fans let you know.
Yeah.
He goes, now you have to wait till you get up there or a caddy will tell you something.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Exactly.
Man.
Yeah, I was just like, did you see the hole-in-one Rahm hit the other day?
Oh, yeah.
Let's
skip the
get
water.
Somebody to do that during the actual
round,
tournament. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. He skipped it on a par three.
Then you won't even, like you said, you won't even hear the fans be able to, like, yell and be excited about
it. I've seen video of hole-in-ones at tournaments this year, and it is weird because there's just, you hear the clap and the high five with the caddy, and like, woohoo! And you're like, it's just like you and I going out and playing at the Bullitt Country Club or the Osborne Golf Course. I mean, there's nobody around to cheer you on.
Yeah.
You know?
It would take some adjusting for sure at a tournament like that you're just used to it.
Yeah, it really would. Major League Baseball MVP awards have been announced. The 2020 NL MVP is Braves first baseman Freddie Freeman at the age of 31. 13 homers, 53 RBIs, 51 runs, 23 doubles, a triple. He led the majors in doubles and runs, second in average, second on base percentage, second in slugging, third in hits, second total bases, second RBIs, third in walks. Led the league in extra base hits and times on base. That was a pretty easy pick. Mookie Betts finished second. He was trying to become just the second player in Major League Baseball history to win the MVP in two different leagues. You know the guy that is the only one to have done it in Major League Baseball history to win the MVP in two different leagues? Hall of Famer Frank Robinson.
Frank Robinson.
Yeah. Padres third baseman Manny Machado finished third in the voting. And then I know the Royals love Jose Abreu because he's been a thorn in their side for many years. Abreu, at the age of 33, won his first MVP award. For the Chicago White Sox. He becomes the first White Sox player to win the award since Frank Thomas back in 1994. And he became the oldest AL MVP since 38-year-old Dennis Eckersley won the honor in 1992 when he was dominant as reliever for the A's. Ray played in all the games, 19 homers, led the league with 76 hits, led in total bases. He won it over other MVP finalists. DJ LeMahieu of the Yankees, now a free agent, finished third, I believe it was. Jose Ramirez of Cleveland. He had 8 first-place votes. DJ LeMahieu had 1 first-place vote. And Jose Abreu had 21 of the 30 first-place votes. And here to tell you how awesome Mike Trout is, this was a line that stood out to me in this article. And loser, 3-time winner, Mike Trout, finished 5th in the balloting. which is his worst ever finish.
Yeah.
Think about that for a second. Mike Trout is playing the league for a while now.
Yes.
The worst he's finished in the MVP balloting is fifth this year in a shortened 60-game season. That guy's awful. The Angels need to cut that guy.
Yeah.
What a horrible year.
Fifth?
He only finished fifth in the MVP balloting. It tells you how awesome he is. I mean, he's an absolute stud, and he should be the highest paid player in baseball, which he is. And I want to pull up and see if I can find this real quick, because I would like to see how he's finished in MVP vote here. They usually have it on Baseball Reference.
Yeah,
and I'm looking at it here because it is kind of interesting to me. If I can find it. Usually it's right there. It has it out to the side, his MVP stuff. But I, for some reason, I don't see it. But it's pretty impressive what Trout has done. Top five every year he's been in the league in the MVP balloting. This year was the worst, where he finished fifth.
Yeah.
They should dock his pay. The Ivy League has announced the cancellation of all winter sports. What do you think about that?
Ivy League's been ahead of the game on all of that stuff. So
yes, they have.
I don't read much into it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because now in March, I know everybody kind of followed suit with them canceling their postseason. But I think the Ivy League is focused on education, and that's what they probably mm-hmm. should be.
Right.
As the Ivy League, you know, a lot of people like, oh, they need to be playing whatever. But I don't think Ivy League really cares much about if they have sports or not.
Nah,
for their student athletes and for their students. Basically.
I agree with you. Here is a statement consistent with its commitment to safeguard the health and well-being of student athletes, the greater campus community, and general public. The Ivy League Council of Presidents has decided that league schools will not conduct intercollegiate athletic competition in winter sports during the 2020-21 season. The league is the first Division I conference to nix winter sports, repeating a precedent set earlier this year, as Dusty mentioned, when the Ivy League was first to cancel its fall sports. And the first to cancel its basketball conference tournament back in March. But you're right, academics is bigger than sports, and that's probably the only league that pertains to in Division One, to be quite honest. By the way, I have the answer to my own question. Mike Trout, who's just 29, that's the other scary part about him. He already has 1,380 hits, 302 home runs, 800 RBIs, stole 200 bases, career batting average of .304, and he's only 29. Eight-time All-Star, but here's his MVP awards. You listen to this. He's a three-time American League MVP award winner. He won the award in 14, 16, and 19. He finished second in 2012, 2013, 2015, and 2018. So he has finished second four times, first three times, and then there's an odd one somewhere. But he obviously
finished fourth in,
fourth.
In 17.
Okay, so he's got first three times MVPs, won three MVPs, runner-up four times, and fourth and a fifth.
Like, how are you 7 out of 9 years either first or second in MVP voting? That's insane.
That's insane. That is insane.
I mean, I'm not saying he's not worthy of it.
Oh,
I'm
he
just
is.
Saying
no
it's
question.
It's insane, no matter if you're worthy of it or not.
And that's the absolute model of consistency.
Oh, yeah.
And I hear he's a great dude, by the way. I actually somebody that's met him that I know, and they say he's a really awesome dude, just an average dude. I mean, just you wouldn't even know it if you met him in the street, that he's a superstar with millions of dollars, which is cool. But also, what's really sad, though, for Angel fans is you have one of the greatest players maybe to ever play the game by the time his career's over, and I think he'll be in L.A. with the Angels for his whole career. Well, they've got nothing to show for it when it comes to the playoffs. They've only made the playoffs, I think, once or twice, and, of course, the Royals swept them when they had the best record in baseball in 14.
Yeah.
So they need to find some pitching to help him out, no doubt. But Mike Trout, man, he's not the reason the Angels don't win playoff games or get to the playoffs.
I was just like looking at he's won the Silver Slugger all but one year that he's actually played. You know,
hasn't he won the Gold Glove too?
Hasn't he won
Gold Glove
too? 40 games. I don't think he's
no Gold Glove.
But Silver Slugger, 8 out of 9 full seasons.
Defensive Player of the Year award in 2012. So he's just a 5-tool player, dude.
Yeah.
30-30 club in 2012. He doesn't steal any bases he once did because, of course, now it's all about, you know, power and getting home runs. And, of course, in 2019, he signed a 12-year, $426 million contract, the second richest contract in the history of North American sports at the time of the signing. Of course, Mahomes has a big contract now that you may have heard about. But I'm not going to say he's worth every penny, because I think when you say that, people just pull their hair out and go, nobody's worth $426 million. Nobody's worth $503 million that Mahomes is going to get. True, but in regards to the market value of what Mike Trout is in baseball and what Mahomes is in football, and there's actually analytical data out there based on what Mahomes brings to the table for the Chiefs and organization in the National Football League. Do you know what the result is? Do you think Mahomes is underpaid or overpaid?
Under.
even though he's got a $503 million contract, all the numbers and the crunching is that Mahomes is underpaid.
Yeah.
Despite getting half a billion dollar contract. So let that sink in over the weekend. Friday the 13th, so good luck with that. Hopefully it's a good, lucky night for Smith Center football and Beloit football. Beloit at Haven tonight. Pregame at 6:30, kickoff at 7 on Katie Country 94, katiecountry94.com, live video stream at nckssports.com, be the Beloit Trojan channel, and Smith Center hosting Oakley tonight at 7 o'clock. Best of luck to both.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or sunflowerstateradio.com.